Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to share just a brief update of what's happening at Harrisonburg this morning. At Harrisonburg campus, we're having a baptism service that started at 10 o'clock, so they combined 9 and 10:30 into one big celebration, and they were planning and having baptism service even as we speak, I would imagine, people celebrating new life in Christ. So I would encourage you, I'm excited to get home and check social media for the live feed and see how many people ended up getting baptized. Midweek last week, we were about like 13 to 15 people, and I am absolutely confident that more got in the waters today. Since then. And so I would encourage you, go to our YouTube channel this afternoon and check out just what happened at our Harrisonburg church this morning. I don't know what all happened, but I know it's good, and I'm excited to catch up on that later. So for those of you hanging out with me this morning, we're going to jump right into our teaching text as we continue in part four of our Grace is Greater series. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, if you want to go ahead and make your way there. But as we do, I want you to begin processing or holding a question in your mind. And it's a really simple question that might seem too obvious, but I don't want you to rush past it. I want you to hold this question as we go throughout our study today. And that question is simply this: where are you? Where are you? We're going to be in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. We're going to read just one verse and unpack it a little bit. It says there, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Just one verse today. Our teaching text gives us a definitive answer to that one question. You are here. You are here. This text reminds me of a little bit of a really big map that we have here in our community. This is located right behind the Elkton Community Center at the trail or the entrance to the Elk Run Paths. I got a picture of it for us this morning. As you walk up and you approach this map, like, it's kind of overwhelming. There is a lot of color, a lot of squiggly lines. We see creeks and rivers and roads and buildings. And I mean, the school's on there, the new rescue squad's on there, churches are on there. And we have this map, and I'm going to be the first to admit to you that when I walk up to this thing, it's a little overwhelming. Because there's a lot of information here, and before this thing becomes of any use to you, you have to answer one critical question. Where are you? And I must not be the only person that struggles with that looking at this map, because if you zoom in and look at the bottom left-hand corner with yellow highlights, there are three words that make it all come together. You are here. They wrote that for people just like me. You see, this little detail makes all the difference in the world as we look at this great big map. You are here. And friends, that reminds me a little bit like what our teaching text is talking about today. It says, you are here. You are in the present, yes, with all of its sufferings, trials, tribulation, brokenness. You are here. Now, I'm going to just throw a guess out there today. You don't need a giant map or even Romans 8:18 to help you know that you're here. Because our world, our experience is so often marked by things that are hurting, that are heavy, that are broken. Maybe for you, that brokenness, this you are here moment, is a season of busyness. One event, one deadline to the next, and you live in this perpetual whirlwind of exhaustion. You're here. Perhaps you might be in a season of uncertainty where the doctor's reports come back and it's not good, that it's spread or it's not what we think. You're here. Maybe here for you is marked by a brokenness, a painful relationship that you have worked so hard on, that you've shed so many tears over, that you've prayed so hard about, but yet despite all of that, it's broken. And it hurts. Maybe you're here in the midst of shattered dreams, of goals and plans and things you thought were gonna come to light, and they're nowhere to be found. You're here and you're struggling, maybe suffering today. You are here. This verse does tell us that truth, that hard reality, but it also reminds us of something else very important. We're heading there. We're heading there. Today, you are here. And the Lord is extending to us, to you, a compassionate and certain hope. We could phrase it this way: God's grace is greater than brokenness. His grace is greater than brokenness. You see, what's ahead for the people of God is a renewal, a restoration so great that all of the sufferings and the trials and the brokenness of the here and now, one day you will be able to look back and see that it was just a speck on the map. Because God's grace is greater than brokenness. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we invite you into this space. Lord, you're here. Lord, you are always present. We've been singing about your goodness and faithfulness, God. You are here. And Lord, we are here too. And I know some of the places in the room today where the arrow on the map would say you are here, there's suffering. There's hurting, there's question, there's confusion, there's brokenness. But Lord, today we want to be encouraged, to have our hearts and our eyes, our minds lifted to you and the great hope that awaits in your restoration and the hope that you have for us today. Because it's not just that we're going there, we need to grin and bear it. It's that you're here now leading us, walking with us, because your grace is greater. So Lord, will you come into this space this morning and touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to unpack verse 18 a little bit more to try to understand, to get a better grip, a grasp on just what the truth is there for us this morning. It reads, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." It begins by saying these two words, "I consider." And to understand this, it's the idea of running the numbers. Who's my numbers people in the room? Y'all love numbers, you love calculations. Sweet, there's none of us. This ought to go great. Okay, another. Who's read the instruction? No, I'm just kidding. So this is the idea of running the numbers. It's to give careful consideration to the matter. And so what we need to understand is this is not a whim. It's not wishful thinking, and it's certainly not bad pizza from the night before. What is being conveyed here, you could read this to say that I am absolutely certain, I am unwaveringly confident that the suffering we're facing now is not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed in us then. And friends, when we unpack, when we realize the original context that this was written, it brings this to light even more. You see, this was written by the Apostle Paul, and he knew a thing or two about suffering. If you look in the book of Acts and some of his other writings, Paul had been beaten nearly to the end of his life many times. He was shipwrecked, snake-bitten, betrayed by friends, thrown in dirty, dungy prisons, and he would ultimately be killed for his faith in Jesus. That's who's writing. That's who's calculating for us today. And when you consider he's writing to Christians in the Roman Empire who are also being severely persecuted for their faith. But Paul is looking at the landscape of all of his own suffering, all the here and now moments that he's experienced and the Christians in Rome have experienced. He's saying, guys, look, I am so confident that what is ahead of us, what is ahead is a glory so great that the stuff we're trapped in now just won't compare. That's a big statement. And I know that might be a big statement in your life today too. If we continue, you see, Paul, he's not trying to minimize the suffering of the present. He's trying to help us with a new perspective. He's trying to help us have hope in the midst of the suffering. If you continue in chapter 8, and we're going to take some big jumps in the text, but if you continue there, he begins to talk about and unpack that this redemption that is ahead, God's plan, where we're headed, is so great, it's so glorious and wonderful that all of creation is in eager anticipation. Again, the word picture here is that eager anticipation would be standing on your tippy toes, trying to pull above the counter to see what's on the kitchen counter for dinner. It's that leaning in, straining your neck to see what is coming ahead. And so that you take that idea and say, okay, every sunset, every white-tailed deer that we're getting ready to look at in hunting season, hunters, every sunrise, every sunset, every beachscape is leaning in, tippy-toe, neck strained, waiting to see what's ahead in God's redemption story. That's what's ahead. And so Paul is trying to help us to see that we are caught up in such a grand narrative, that the here and now is not the end of the story, that we are people of hope. If maybe you've ever been on a Skyline Drive and you round the turn and you see a whole bunch of cars parked off each side of the road and people have their phones out, you know, they're taking pictures, the first thought you think is, oh man, I wonder what's down there. What are they looking at, right? Well, as we have that same anticipation, as Paul says, creation is longing, what's ahead? Friends, what is being alluded to here is in our context that it is, yes, the return of Christ Jesus, but it is also beyond his return to the final judgment where sin, sickness, death, and hell are dealt with and finished once and for all. That the good news is coming, that there is a redemption, that those in Christ will receive a resurrected and new body. And two, that the earth will be remade. It's going to experience its own resurrection in God's final renewal. And so what we see is that this renewal is coming and that God is going to be with his people in a new and powerful way. That's where we're headed. Revelation 21 gives us just a glimpse, as hard as it is for us to wrap our minds around. We read there in 21 verses 3 through 5, it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Man, friends, that's what's up ahead. That is the renewal and the redemption that all of creation is straining on its tippy toes to see. God's ultimate redemption, a new heaven and a new earth, God with his people. And so if we were to take this, you can almost imagine that the Apostle Paul might put his arm over your shoulder as we approach this great, big, and yeah, a little confusing map of God's plan. And he's saying, it's extending all the way back into the past, into the future. He's saying, son, daughter, you're here. We're right here, and I know it's hard. I know that there's suffering, but take heart. Be encouraged, because we aren't staying here. We're going there. We're going there. This is not the end of the story. God's grace is greater than our suffering. It's greater than the brokenness we're experiencing now. Friends, God's grace is so great that the brokenness, the heavy, the hard things that we are experiencing here and now, in the greatness of his grace, he will use those things for our good. That's Romans 8:28. Jump down just a little bit with me. He's saying, and we know. Again, this is absolute certainty. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. He's saying with certainty, this is unwavering, steadfast hope. Paul is absolutely certain that for those who are in Christ, who love God, who've given their life to Him and are worshiping and serving Him, for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together. For those who are called sons and daughters, those in relationship, even the broken and hard things that we face, the severe trials we come across, God will redeem and bring about good in your life. God's grace is greater than brokenness. I know this verse gets tossed around a lot. You might have it on a coffee cup. Don't throw it away. Keep it. You might have it on a t-shirt or tagged on your social media feed. But friends, I don't ever want to get so comfortable with this verse that we miss what it's saying. This is a magnificent truth for us today. Yes, we are here with all of its present pains, sufferings, things that are terrible, that are awful, that are confusing. But for those who love God, who have given themselves to His purpose, He will take even those things and bring about good. Wow. And I want to be clear. This statement is not to pretend like life isn't hard. Like what you're facing, the suffering, the brokenness of now is not difficult and painful. That's not what this is about. It's not even that we just have to call those bad things good. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that God is so great that He will take those things and redeem them for good in our lives. His grace is greater. We've talked often in this series about not just wanting to study theological concepts of grace, but to experience it. And that's true for us today. And so I'm going to have some of our church family come up and join me here on the platform, some folks that you know and love, but that have been in the midst of living out this truth. And I just want you to hear their story today. So would you help me welcome Isaac and Maddie Baker to the platform this morning? Good morning.
Morning.
Y'all still looking good. I'm proud of you. Oh, goodness. So first, thanks for your willingness to come up and share a little bit what's been happening in your story and your journey. We could kind of phrase it like this. You guys had a "you are here" moment earlier this year that you maybe never saw coming. You couldn't have predicted that. So can you just tell us that moment that came for you, that "you are here" moment? Would you just share a little bit of your experience?
Yeah. So we were going to the Outer Banks for our vacation, and basically right out of the gate, I was having extremely bad headaches and was extremely sick and vomiting, and midway through the week, my wife Maddie and her family came to the realization that I should go to the doctor down there at the Outer Banks. And so we started off going to Emergicare. And initially I was just thinking, you know, great, they'll give me some medicine, I'll feel better, we'll be able to go back and finish out the week at the beach. Which what, you know, didn't end up being the case. And at Emergicare, you know, I just happened to say out of honesty, this is the worst headache I've ever had in my entire life. And they were promptly to say, you need to go to the emergency room. So we went to Outer Banks Hospital emergency room where they did a a CT scan or an MRI. I can't remember specifically which one they did to start there, but that revealed a mass in my brain that was causing, obstructing the flow, which was, explaining everything I was experiencing and how I was feeling. And they said, you've got to have emergency brain surgery, stat. And we went from there to ECU Hospital in Greenville to have surgery the next day. Was the moment, the you are here moment that we were experiencing down there.
Yeah. We say and believe of marriage, the two shall become one. And so you were on this journey together. Maddie, would you share with us a little bit about your journey when anxiety or fear came, which understandably so, how did you handle that? How did you see or hear or sense God moving in that space for you?
Yeah, so I think that sometimes when, you're not necessarily the one going through the direct suffering, through health problems or mental illness, things like that, and it's one of your loved ones, it can actually sometimes be harder that way to kind of, be around for their suffering. So from the moment I was on the beach with my family and I went up to check on Isaac, and when I walked into our bedroom, he was bent over on the bed, his head was flat on the bed, and he was vomiting and couldn't stand up straight. And that's when my panic attack started, and they didn't stop for days later. Absolutely the most scared I've ever been in my whole life. And when I took Isaac to urgent care, I remember sitting in the waiting room with my hands aggressively shaking, just trying to figure out a way to calm myself down. 1 hour later, we were told that he needed to be rushed to another hospital to have emergency brain surgery. And then I realized that my anxiety wasn't going to be going away anytime soon, and that this was actually something that was a much bigger deal than what we originally thought. And actually, when we reached ECU, they did a scan of his brain, and they originally thought that he had a cyst, but the scans showed that signs of it being a highly aggressive brain cancer, which I'll talk more about, that later, what the results were and things like that. But in that moment, I just felt like my world was ending, and I felt like I thought about the chance of Isaac not being here anymore. And I remember that night crying myself to sleep. I stayed awake all night long crying and just watching Isaac. I wasn't able to sleep, not knowing if he was going to be okay. And the day of Isaac's surgery, we actually talked on the phone with Jared, and we prayed over his surgery. And in the midst of the conversation that he had with Jared, he said something I'll never forget. He said, "Maddie's going to hate me for saying this, but whatever happens, I'm content with. I've lived a good life, and I have a relationship with the Lord, and I am fine with whatever happens." And while I did hate to hear that in the moment, it definitely changed my perspective on the situation, because I realized that if the person who was enduring all of the pain and was the one actually getting the surgery, if he wasn't afraid and was putting his trust in the Lord, then there was no reason for me to not do that as well. So from that moment on, I tried to change my perspective a little bit, and I turned my worry into praise, and just focused on all of the good that the Lord has done and that we were in relationship with him. So some of the things that I kind of leaned into during our time in the midst of all of this uncertainty was just the people around us. So when we didn't have the words to speak, and maybe, we're having trouble thinking positively, we had people here at church and, people in our lives that were sending us scripture, just sending us reminders of God's character and just exactly who he is, and that truth helped carry us through. We had people praying for us nonstop, and that really helped a lot. And then this might sound corny or cliche, but I couldn't find the words to say my own prayer. At that moment, I didn't even feel like I could open up the Bible. I couldn't speak. I couldn't eat. I actually ended up showing physical symptoms of my stress and anxiety. I had cysts all over my face. I lost weight very fast in the hospital because I wasn't eating or taking care of myself. So at this moment, all I felt like I could do is I actually got on Pinterest and searched, what does God have to say about my suffering, or quotes about suffering. And I ended up finding two that I had saved to my phone. It's hard to read on the screen, but this one I didn't realize until just yesterday that this was actually the song that we sang this morning, which is just so cool, the way that God works. But this was exactly what I needed to hear in the moment. It says, "The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me." And then I also saved a second one, which is a quote that just reminded me of my perspective shift and just focusing on all of the good of that Jesus has. It says, "Even when my soul is in the valley of despair, there is joy to be had. Even when my eyes are filled with tears, my lungs are breathing air to laugh. Even when I am lost in worry of this world and my life, my God, you have found me." So it was just a reminder that God is good either way. No matter what would happen in that situation, God is still good. And one of the biggest things that really led Isaac and I through this time is once, you know, I started to continue on with the path of really focusing on God's goodness, I was able to read scripture to Isaac at his bedside, which really helped me take on kind of a leadership role in our marriage that helped, you know, distract me from all of the worry. And then my favorite part of just turning my worry into praise is, and it still every single day impacts me when I drive to work, I worship and I just cry every single day. Just in disbelief over the power of God and just how good he is. But when Isaac woke up from surgery, his memory was very impaired, and it was impaired for months after surgery, but he started to worship, which was so sweet. And he ended up singing Jesus Loves Me, which I just love because that's a song that a lot of us sang when we were children, and he did not forget it, so I have it up.
It might not sound the best, I didn't forget.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones do in me belong, they are weak, he is strong.
And then as he gained his memory a little bit throughout the week, he started singing How Deep the Father's Love for Us, just another reminder of just God being right there in the room with us. And I'm sure we woke up every member of the neuro ICU during that week, but we didn't care. We were just worshiping. So I have that too.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast. Beyond all measure, that he should give his only son. To make a wretch his treasure.
And I felt like for me personally, I just couldn't be a part of that and witness that and not just be okay with whatever happened next, just knowing that God was right there with Isaac and I in those moments. I just wanted to show you too just the absolute miraculous recovery. Not even 2 weeks later, this was him singing the exact same song.
How deep the Father's love for us.
And I mentioned a little bit about, you know, the doctors thinking through based off of the scans that it was a highly aggressive form of brain cancer. And after surgery, the surgeon informed us that they were not able to get all of the tumor just due to making sure that he could still walk and talk and all of those things. It was in very sensitive parts of the brain. And so you would think that any person who would hear that it's likely an aggressive form of brain cancer, and they also weren't able to necessarily do a full successful surgery, that for months and months we're just going to be so worried about what's next. But I can honestly say that from that moment forward, and even when we were at home, we were not scared at all. I actually had people contact like, hey, what did the pathology report say? I was like, oh, I forgot we were waiting on those. You know, like, I just think that at that moment we were just grateful for all the good that God had done already, and just the way he worked through us, even in those moments right there in the hospital, that nothing else mattered.
Amen. So this is now the second room of people that realize that you sing better in the neuro ICU than we do in the room on Sunday. But so we've been talking a lot about experiencing God's grace, and Maddie, you shared a lot about how that showed up for you. Isaac, would you share with us just a little bit, like, what was some points of grace that you can look back now and see that God was moving? He was there, even maybe if it didn't seem like it or feel like it.
I think that one thing that sticks out is you wouldn't think that being on vacation would be the ideal place for something like this to happen, but I just truly believe that it was orchestrated, you know, for us to be there, you know, for me to be with Maddie and the family and probably have a little more of a push than if I had been, like, I wasn't planning on going to the beach with the family that week until much later on in the year. And just the fact that I'm not one to take myself to the doctor at all. You know, being with them and being there and having multiple sets of eyes on me to say, you know, you need to go to the doctor. And everything that went forward with after then going to the hospital and them saying you have a mass in your brain that's causing, you know, all of these issues, and you're going to need emergency brain surgery, and the multiple hospitals they were considering, you know, sending me, and it landing on ECU in Greenville, which we truly feel like was just a major blessing to be there, just at such a phenomenal hospital. And then just all of the love and support and, you know, family, parents, my parents coming down, friends traveling there to see me and be with us, and just everybody reaching out. On top of, you know, God's grace with it, you know, after, I don't know if she was going to say about the major blessing of the pathology coming back, that it was a very slow growing form of brain cancer, that it's not highly aggressive, was just an answered prayer.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Romans 8:28 and just how God works all things together for those who love him. He works them for good. And so you would hear that story and say, wow, like none of us want to be sick on vacation. That's last on the list, right? Mm-hmm. Then you especially don't want to have to find care in an unfamiliar place on vacation. Then you hear, well, these hospitals are full, so we're going to send you to ECU. But then to that itself is redeemed in that I've heard you both bear witness to, like, it was an amazing experience there. Like, that was where you needed to be. But it was those things that would have seemed like, and it didn't seem like, they were tough things. They were hard things. But yet, in the midst of that, God's grace brought about good. Miss Beth is going to come forward here in just a minute and lead us in a response. But I'd like to hear from each of you. As we look at a text like this and we wrestle with the "you are here" difficulties, the challenges, I'd love for you guys to share, because I'm imagining, and I'm pretty confident there's folks in the room who aren't here yet. And you guys are still on a journey. That's part of your story, is that there's yet to come the rest of that story. But for the person who's not here yet, who is only seeing the hard things and hasn't seen the good yet, how would you speak hope and truth and life, encouragement for that person today?
So the first thing that I would say is that I think that God honors our honesty. There's many examples in the Bible of people who experienced very difficult situations, and, you know, they were shouting out to God, why, God, why? And I think that what is so great about God is that he allows that, and he honors us showing up exactly where we are and who we are. And in my situation, I've always been an anxious person. Anxiety has been a part of my story since as long as I can remember. And I just think it's just such a reminder that God uses the things that are often, you know, our strongholds or the things we just can't seem to get over to grow us. And so just another example of that, God uses everything for good. So I think that while going through, you know, a season of suffering or hard times, acknowledge that it is hard. Lean on the people around you. You are loved. You are cared for, even when it doesn't feel like it. But most importantly, you are loved by God. And he is right with you. Even when it doesn't seem like it, he is right there with you. Lean on him the best you can. And for me, that didn't look like opening up my Bible. I couldn't do it in that moment. It didn't look like saying a prayer, and that's okay. I think that sometimes even our tears falling is bringing glory to God. You know, he hears that, he sees that. So whichever way that you can, you know, just reach out to God in those moments, he hears you, he sees you, and know that even if you haven't seen it yet, even if you never see it, the Bible says that God, you know, works everything for good. And so just rest on the fact that there's a plan. It is so hard to remember that in a moment of suffering, but God is going to use your situation. And sometimes that means not having a prayer answered the way that we wanted it to, which I think is the hardest part, but knowing that God has a plan for your life, and his plans are always better than anything that we could come up with on our own. Amen.
And just adding, appreciating things differently, you know, you don't always have the opportunity to go through something like that, and then just look at things, you know, things that might have aggravated you, like work or something, and then just to feel extremely blessed to be back at work, and just having that opportunity, having the love and support of everybody around you praying for you, and being thankful for those early mornings, you know, back, you know, once you get going, and just taking out every opportunity to pray and thank God for everything. Even if it was something that aggravated you before. That's been a constant on my mind, being back at work and just finding myself complaining a little bit, and then taking a step back and literally being like, I'm thankful to just be here, able to complain.
Amen.
Has been a major blessing.
So good. Guys, thank you for sharing. Would you help me show appreciation for Isaac and Maddie sharing the story this morning? I'm not sure of any other way to follow a story like that other than to pray and to worship. And so that's what we're going to do. If you would stand with me this morning. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Friends, God's grace is greater than brokenness, than pain, than suffering. He has a plan for you. I love what Maddie said. It might not be the answer we were looking for or even hoping for, but we're invited to trust Him and His goodness, that He has a plan, that there's nothing happening in our life and our world that is going to change where we're headed towards the ultimate renewal of all things, including us. And so today, I want to offer you a chance to pray. If you're in that middle space, your you-are-here moment is hard, it's challenging, and you haven't been able to articulate or see the good yet, I just want you to know that you are seen and heard and loved, and that you're not alone. Pastor Terry is going to be in the back, and I'm going to make my way there as well. We would love to just come beside you and pray with you in the midst of the you-are-here moment. Seek the hope that can only come from Christ Jesus. Miss Beth's going to lead us, and then she's going to close us out. We'll still get you to El Paso in time. It's okay. I know you got to get there too. But would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great grace in the here and now. That, Lord, you don't ask us to minimize or deny or call bad things good. It's not what you're after, God. Just invite us to trust you, to allow you, to surrender and allow you to do things we might not even imagine, Lord, that are good. Lord, to be reminded that, yes, we are here, but here is not the end of the story. That there awaits those in Christ a great redemption that all creation is longing to see. So, Lord, we want to be people of hope and anticipation, Lord, for what you are doing. That, yes, we get to experience the now of your life, death, and resurrection. We are anticipating your coming again and new heaven and new earth and restoration. So, Lord, in the here and now, we need your grace, your strength, Lord, for this day. Because we believe, we declare that your grace is greater than brokenness. So, Lord, will you come? We need you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.